You're listening to This Week in Cardiology from theheart.org on Medscape.
Hi, everyone. This is John Mandrola from theheart.org on Medscape. This is This Week in Cardiology for July 31st, 2015. This week, I'm going to talk about rethinking the cath lab reflex, good CPR, bad CPR, obesity, and racial differences in sudden cardiac death. I'm going to title the first part of this podcast as Giving Peace a Chance in Patients with Non-ST Elevation Acute Coronary Syndrome. You know the routine that is common now. These patients go to the cath lab. To suggest otherwise, at least in my community, is akin to heresy. Yet, a 10-year analysis of the RITA 3 trial, which was published in the Journal of American Cardiology, suggests that it's time to rethink this dogma. Recall that RITA 3 was a multi-center clinical trial that compared a routine interventional approach to these patients versus a selective or conservative approach. The recent analysis showed that there was no difference in 10-year outcomes between the two strategies. But the most important finding from this trial was the massive differences in the numbers of procedures. 96% of the interventional group got cardiac catheterization versus only 16% in the selective strategy. In the interventional strategy, 55%, more than half of the patients got revascularization versus only 10%, 1 in 10 got revascularization in the delayed or conservative group. And again, no differences at 10 years. This is pretty shocking, isn't it? Hundreds more procedures and no difference. I urge you to please look at these findings carefully. I think this study teaches us a lot. And yes, I know that this was an era when there were not troponins, and we now have drug-eluting stents. But I'm still not surprised at these findings, because if we really think about atherosclerosis, it's a systemic disease that is most amenable to systemic solutions, not focal solutions. Focal strategies like stents and bypasses come with trade-offs. There's some negatives to that. So we have a news story on this very important study. I have more to say about it. I wrote a column about it, and I would urge you to sound off in the comment sections and let me know what you think. Next up is a story about bystander CPR. Two new studies add to the known benefits of bystander CPR in patients with out-of-hospital cardiac arrest. Both studies were published in JAMA. One came from the state of North Carolina and the other the country of Japan. In the North Carolina study, a research team looked at about 5,000 patients from a database. They were interested in the question of bystander-initiated CPR and defibrillation versus EMS-initiated CPR and defibrillation. And they found that survival was higher when bystanders intervened first, 25% versus 15%. They also found that public education may have made a big difference, and recall that North Carolina has been a leader in CPR education. For instance, in 2010, 39% of people got bystander CPR, and that increased to 49% in only 3 years in 2013. And these efforts resulted in a gain in neurologically intact survival. In 2010, survival was 7.1%, but it increased to 9.7% in 2013. The second study was a Japanese study, and researchers, get this, examined 167,000 cardiac arrests from 2005 to 2012. As in North Carolina, bystander CPR increased in incidence from 38% to 51% in 2012. And neurologically intact survival also was twofold higher when bystander CPR was initiated, 8.4% versus 4%. But it was even better when bystanders initiated defibrillation, as survival with good brain function increased to 40%. And my comments here is that there's a lot of talk about improving survival from cardiac disease, which is our number one killer. And it's ironic that while much of cardiology bubbles over with enthusiasm over an unproven, expensive cholesterol medication or new heart failure medication with incremental benefits, here we have only a small fraction of human beings surviving cardiac arrest. Treating out-of-hospital cardiac arrest is an important story, and I believe it's fertile ground and fertile area to spend our money and our efforts. More and more, I believe the next big gains in cardiology are going to come from the community. Societal factors are key. Okay. Next up, I want to talk about obesity. So 1 in 210, these are the odds that an obese male is going to get to normal body weight. Women are a little better. Their odds are 1 in 124. A group of researchers from the UK published these sobering findings in the American Journal of Public Health. They analyzed a clinical practice database of more than 2 million patients, and this group also found that the heavier people get, the less likely they are to reach normal body weight. The authors say these findings raise questions about current obesity treatment frameworks. I'd say so. I realize obesity as a public health problem isn't really earth-shattering news. We all know it's a major issue. But I mention this data because I think it's really important for physicians to lead on this. And one way to lead is to stop ignoring obesity. For instance, I'm referred patients with atrial fibrillation and for AF ablation, and they've yet to be counseled about their obesity. I've seen patients with obesity and hypertension and high cholesterol put on meds to, quote, take care of the problem. Leadership on obesity means putting it front and center. And again, I'm getting back to the societal factors in the community. Treatment of and prevention of obesity begins in the community. Next up are racial differences in sudden cardiac death. Now, we know a lot about sudden cardiac death in white individuals. Much less is known in black individuals. So researchers from UCLA and Oregon used the Oregon SUDS database to learn more about racial differences in sudden cardiac death. And they found black individuals were twofold more likely than white individuals to suffer cardiac arrest. But more importantly, black individuals who suffered cardiac arrest compared with white individuals were more likely to have hypertension, diabetes, chronic kidney disease, heart failure, LVH. And interestingly, in a small subset of these individuals who had autopsies, blacks were less likely to have evidence of infarction. They had less coronary disease, but proportionally more hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. Two points to make here. One is, this is a different observation than race and atrial fibrillation. In atrial fibrillation, blacks tend to have more metabolic risk factors, but less atrial fibrillation. So what's the difference? I'm asking, I don't know. Second point is that I'm back to the societal factors again. The association of typical cardiometabolic risk factors speak to the opportunity to impact survival in the community, not the pharmacy and the cath lab. It's out there in the community where the real impact can be made. Now, the next topic is bad CPR, or CPR in dialysis patients who are hospitalized. So earlier in the podcast, I spoke about improving bystander CPR for out-of-hospital cardiac arrest. But not all CPR is a good idea. I want to point you to a really excellent feature on Medscape Nephrology from Dr. Jeffrey Burns from the University of Pennsylvania. Dr. Burns discusses a recent publication in JAMA Internal Medicine concerning trends in-hospital CPR and survival for dialysis patients. As an electrophysiologist, when I see a dialysis patient who survived cardiac arrest in the hospital, it's just terrifically hard to know what to do. The JAMA internal medicine study shows that among a national cohort of dialysis patients, the incidence of CPR is going up, and it's 20 times higher than the general population, but not unexpectedly, survival after cardiac arrest in the hospital is very low. The median survival, 5 months. So what's so great about Dr. Burns's piece is his emphasis on the need to discuss prognosis and goals of care with our patients with end-stage renal disease. He urges us to prepare these patients for the future. And I say good on Dr. Burns, and take a look at that piece. So that's it for this week in cardiology. Until next week, this is John Mandrola from the Heart.org on Medscape.
You're listening to This Week in Cardiology from the Heart.org on Medscape.